Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
All right, so to get into the passage today, here's a question. Have you ever doubted something because it was too good to be true? Have you ever doubted something that it was too good to be true? What was your response? Were you like, no way, that actually happened? Or did you have no words at all? Was it a moment of, I don't know how to express how I feel? Is this really happening? I think when Christy and I actually knew in our spirit that we needed to leave Langley to start this church, start you guys here in Duncan, personally I thought, is this really happening? There's a point I remember that was so clear. This has got to be too good to be true to come back to what I called the promised land, Vancouver Island, but even to our home that we grew up. Both of us graduated high school here. Both of us were here growing up. Maybe you've had something you doubted or felt this way about. You have your own story. This weekend is designed and defined from the idea of Thanksgiving and gratitude. In our culture, we created Thanksgiving. It was part of harvest at one point. Earlier than the States because of our climate, maybe, I don't know. But this is a reminder of being thankful and grateful for the things that are in our lives. Life isn't always negative, although sometimes it feels that it sure is negative a lot. Sometimes there are things that happen that are unexpected, unmerited. We maybe feel unworthy of these things, these good things that come upon us. Yet they are still truly good. So in this story today, there are some characters that could have given up. They could easily have said, it's just too good to be true. It won't happen. They almost did give up on Jesus, actually. But Jesus proved to them that he was worth trusting and they were thankful. So on that note, on Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you all. But let's consider this threaded throughout our story today. So let's pray. Almighty God, we have access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. For that, we are thankful beyond words. Today, we ask that you will show us your love, show us your grace and mercy, and allow them to heal us today. It's in Jesus' name in whom we pray. Amen. So if you have a Bible, you can pull it out this time. If you want to read on the screen, you can go ahead and do that. If you would like a Bible, we just bought a whole case lot. So if you're like, man, I really want to have a Bible, you can grab a Bible from there. It's free. So if you want to grab a Bible and bring it home with you, it's yours. If you have one at home and you just want to borrow it, you're welcome to borrow that. It's just in the welcome desk that's over there. But we're going to read, we're in the Gospel of Luke here. So in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. So if you've never been there before, just look through your table of contents, you'll find it. The New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Luke is the third one in. And it's Luke chapter 8. We're going to break up into a bunch of different pieces. We're going to start with 8, 40 to 42. Just these few verses at the beginning. And then we'll come back to the other ones, okay? So this is Luke 8, 40 to 42, and it says this. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So we see in the last couple of sermons that if you've been here for the last few weeks or watching online, these storylines are all connected. That's important to understand that they're all connected. This Jesus has now returned from the storm. There is now the clothed man was full of demons, now not full of demons. Now Jesus and his disciples returned from back across the lake. So that's why it said, now Jesus returned. And a crowd welcomed him when he reached the shore, which is interesting to know because it was a crowd that was rejecting him in the previous passage, which we covered last week. And right away, we see this crowd had expected him to come back. That's your posture. They're just maybe looking off in the distance. You can imagine the crowd seeing the boat coming back over. Oh, Jesus is coming back. We're expecting, we're ready to receive Jesus coming back into our presence. And here we have a man named Jairus, who was a synagogue leader who came and fell at the feet of Jesus. To understand what Jairus' job was, as a synagogue leader, maybe we are unaware of what that really looks like. He would have been responsible for the arrangements of the synagogue services. So he's like the lead pastor of the synagogue, and he does the praying and the reading scripture and preaching. So it gives you an idea of the importance and the important role that Jairus had. Jairus begged Jesus to come heal his 12-year-old daughter who was dying. On their way, the crowds almost crushed Jesus. Out of the excitement of seeing he's here, he's back in our midst, and they crowded around him wanting to be close to Jesus. Now just take a moment to picture that. Just picture crowds in a crowded street, people gathering beside him. Imagine being a bystander in the story. I think that helps with understanding this passage. Then a story within a story happens, which is unique. It doesn't happen a lot in the scriptures, but there is a story inside the story of Jairus. So we'll keep reading. And this is Luke 8:43-49 that we'll read. It says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out for me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, and now she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." So we'll put a pause on that. Okay, there's a woman who is bleeding for 12 years. It's interesting to me that the daughter was born about the time when the bleeding started for this woman. But no one could heal her. So what she did, she snuck up behind Jesus, likely out of embarrassment in regarding to her bleeding, and touched his cloak. The wording here of his cloak is very specific. The original wording is this: she touched the edge of his cloak. This is touched the tassel on the end of a square garment that was thrown over his left shoulder and hung down his back. That's the specific wording here. It was barely a touch. It wasn't that he touched his body through the clothing. She just touched a tassel. And likely, for Jesus, he didn't physically feel that with all the people around. She touched it and was healed. Jesus immediately asked who touched him, which Captain Obvious here, Peter, pointed out that lots of people were pushing him, the whole crowd, Jesus. This is not unusual. Of course you felt that people were touching you. They're in a narrow street, an ancient street, so of course people were physically touching you. Do you not see that? But that's not what Jesus meant. He insisted that power came out from him. Something happened. Now there is a mystery to this. I can't imagine what that meant. Maybe it doesn't look like anything. Maybe it did. I don't know. But could power go out of Jesus at any touch? Is that what's happening here? No. His power doesn't work this way. He isn't superstitious. Something that people in the Calhoun Valley maybe not fully superstitious, maybe just a little stitious, but we know what that feels like. It's like, oh, did that Murphy's Law happen? He isn't a superstitious object to be used or manipulated. Plus, Jesus knew full well and wanted her to come into the open, and that's why he said it. He wanted her to come into the open as seen and seeing she could go unnoticed. Jesus allowed her to surface so that other people could witness what was about to happen. Well, this woman, seeing she could go unnoticed, came trembling, maybe in shock, and fell at his feet, which is interesting that Jairus fell at his feet. And also, the demon-possessed guy also fell at his feet. She almost slipped away, maybe out of superstitious risk that it would be reversed. And then all of a sudden, no, I can't be seen because it worked, and I don't want this to change. I love that I'm healed. I don't want this to happen. I'm just going to slip away quietly. She shared her story of what God had done with those who were there, similar to what the demon-possessed guy was told to do as well. But Jesus' response was to call her daughter, which is the only woman he said this specifically to. Not just daughter of Abraham, which he says in another part of Scripture, but daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It's interesting that it was Jairus' daughter that he was on his way to healing, but called this woman daughter. And it wasn't superstition. It wasn't well-wishing. It wasn't magical powers. But her faith is what healed her. Her belief that Jesus could heal is what healed her, which allows for a relationship with Jesus. As opposed to a cold, hard healing from, say, a medication or some sort of inanimate thing, like, oh yeah, just you're healed, okay, great, move on. But there's more to it. There's a connection and a relationship with Jesus that's far deeper and far greater in that healing. There was a peace now. He said, go in peace. There's a peace now that she had not known before due to this medical condition. You see, this woman was with the constant flow of blood was likely a gynecological problem, was ceremonially unclean. So she couldn't enter the synagogue. She couldn't be part of society because she was an outcast because of this uncleanness, because she was constantly bleeding. And anyone who touched her would have been unclean 24/7. All the time, she was unclean. And now, she could be included with people. That's a substantial thing that happened with this healing for the first time in 12 years. And to close the sandwich on this story, inside the story, we see that while Jesus was speaking, someone came out and told him Jairus' daughter was dead and not to bother Jesus anymore. Okay, just don't bother. Just give up. It's no use. It's too late. She's dead. And obviously not believing that Jesus' power could extend beyond death itself. That's not humanly possible. That would be completely impossible. They'd never heard of that before, so why would they think of it? So let's finish off the story. Luke chapter 8, 50 to 56, it says this. Hearing this, so again, it says, don't bother the teacher anymore. So hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Okay, that's the rest of our story today. So Jesus heard the conversation. He heard the conversation that was going on and all the commotion. And while he was talking with this woman, that he responded not to the messenger who came. Notice that. He didn't say to the messenger who said, don't bother Jesus anymore. He just turned to Jairus, who didn't speak. And Jesus told Jairus that he should just believe. Just believe. And she will be healed. Do not be afraid. The wording here is simple. It's trust him. To make an act of faith. Just act upon faith here. He arrived and entered with a select few people. They entered the house and found the hired people who would be hired for the morning. That was a custom of the day. The tradition was to bring in flutes and have people would be designated as wailers, like people wailing. You can imagine the loudness of what that would be, someone wailing in the corner, or maybe a group of people with flutes going over the deceased. The grieving process had already started by the time Jesus got there, which actually seemed quick to the story. Makes me wonder if the professional mourners, had jumped on the opportunity and knew she was close. And were right there and ready to go, trying to make the most out of it, waiting near the house for the moment she passed. So Jesus told them to stop, to knock it off. This wasn't necessary because she was not dead, but asleep. Apparently death is no more than sleep to Jesus. I don't know how that works. I can't imagine if I saw someone who had passed, I wouldn't have thought they're just asleep. Those gathered around turned their wailing into laughing because they were professionals, remember, and they had seen many dead people before. This wasn't the first dead person they'd seen. They knew what dead looked like. Dead was dead. But he touched her, which would have made him unclean for touching the deceased body. He was already unclean because of the woman he touched earlier, but now he's doubly unclean in the law because he touched a deceased body. This could have caused a whole ritual and law to take place that he had to then have to do that just with one touch. But he told her to get up, and she did. She got up. Someone who was dead was now alive. She got up. The wording here in this original language is that her pneuma, her spirit being, her breath, returns. Returned meaning turn or bring back to life. She stood up and Jesus said to give her something to eat, which she might be hungry after coming back from the dead. I guess that's probably the case. Someone coming back from the dead, give her something to eat. Yeah, that sounds great. It's understandable. The parents, of course, were astonished. But he ordered them not to tell anyone. Interesting that we brought it up, was it last week? Like, sometimes he tells people, go tell everybody. Sometimes he says, don't tell anybody. So what is going on here? In this case, it was not because no one was allowed to witness, because he brought his select few there. He had the professional mourners and the parents. There was actually a crowd in this room. There were several people in the house that witnessed what went on. But this was simply because the girl needed attention, and the public attention was not needed. It would have confused the situation, bringing in other people to witness everything. She just needed attention. She needed care. So Jesus was caring just for this girl in this moment. He wanted to make sure she was well fed and that she was on the mend after coming back from the dead. It's just like, what? Imagine that. All right. So there's a lot in this story. We unpacked a lot of that, pointed out a few things that were in the original language, things that we need to pay attention to in the story. But there's some questions that I think can help us with understanding what all went on, stuff that transcends all time, that can be applicable to here and now, not just 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking on earth, but here today, for you here and now, I think these questions can start to surface. The first is this. What would it look like to trust Jesus in faith? That happened. Jesus asked the woman, he said your faith healed you. So what would it look like to trust Jesus in faith? Like Jairus and the woman in each story, we can trust Jesus in faith. Things that maybe we don't understand. When we trust Jesus in faith, what it looks like is trusting in something we may not understand, and may not feel like we can trust. It's scary. Faith shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be like, oh, I'll just believe in faith and it's no skin off my back. I can easily do it. No, it should be hard. It should be, I don't know if this will work, but I must trust Jesus and I must believe in faith. Maybe there's something in your life right now, where you're at in the sea, that you feel you just don't understand because you have been convinced that Jesus, but you have been convinced that Jesus can help. You don't understand why, but you know that Jesus can help. If this is you, and you are convinced, okay, if Jesus can do that, maybe he can actually help me with my thing that I'm going through, then I challenge you to go for it. Simply trust. Pray a prayer. Pray and say, Jesus, I don't understand how faith works. I don't even understand. I don't even know if you can actually heal or help me right now, but I will trust and believe in faith and try it and ask you to heal because we know you can. So go for it. Trust even if it doesn't make human sense. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in each of your minds, but maybe there's someone here that really needs to hear that today. That they can believe in faith, that they can have the courage to do so. And maybe there's something in your life today that you feel you can't trust Jesus with because it's too hard. Maybe there's something you just, I don't know. It's something you've kept close to yourself for too long and you haven't let Jesus help. Maybe it's in your fist and you can imagine it's in a fist. And maybe you have white knuckles that you just don't want to give up. It's too hard to let go of control. But you know it's best because we've been talking about it, don't you? It's best, and I invite you to do this, even right now, in your mind, or even physically, if you feel comfortable, you want to do that. If this is for you, and you know and want Jesus to trust you, I encourage you to surrender to him today as a physical act, to even try holding out your hand and your fist and let go of your palm down, knowing that Jesus will catch you underneath with whatever it is that you've got burdening you. You may need him to massage your tense fist first because you're still light knuckling and it's hard to give up. So let him just massage it and to let go. To let him, just trust him, to let him just have all your trust. To allow him to help and turn your worry into thankfulness. To be reminded of that this weekend. To be thankful and grateful for his trustworthiness. Then you can stand on confidently. You can trust him. I'm telling you from my personal experience, you can. And if I can, you can. So, because I'm only human. You can trust him. It's okay. He's got you. To open up your trust to Jesus, allow him to carry you, to take the burden from you, allow him to be your Savior, be released in Jesus' name. Allow him to be your God, your guide, your anchor, your rock, your loving shepherd. With life swirling around, allow him to be your constant source of hope. Then you can trust him. To allow him to restore you, to put your trust fully in him. Because if you do, you can be restored. The second question, I know that was a long one, but there's a lot I wanted to unpack specifically for some of us here today. But the second question I thought through is this: what would it look like to leave behind some of our shame? What would it look like today for those of us who come into our space here today in this church, in this building right now, who carry shame, and to say, what would it look like to leave behind shame? To just leave it at the foot of Jesus. Maybe some of us today can set aside our shame, set aside the fact that we have been in an outcast. Maybe like the woman, you felt unclean. Maybe it's been a long time, even 12 years or more, and you've been holding on to this thing, so maybe we take the opportunity in faith. We just reach out and touch Jesus' cloak, the tassel, to believe in faith and allow our faith to heal us of course, is not the faith, it's Jesus. But our faith in Jesus to heal us. Is it time to do that today? To be like the woman in this passage, as simple as that. If this is you, let's just pause and allow that to sink in. Imagine yourself reaching out to Jesus, or even consider physically holding out your hand and quietly or boldly approaching Jesus where you are right now. Take hold of his garment, take hold of that tassel, and believe that Jesus is the one that heals. Maybe it's not a physical healing, maybe it's a healing of your heart. And it's time to receive that healing. To take hold of his garment and believe that Jesus is that only one. Allow your faith in Jesus to heal you, for Jesus to save you from whatever burden you've carried around, like the woman did in the story. And then, like the woman in the story, the beauty of church, people are church, not the building, people, the beauty of church and a community is that we can experience community without shame. We can experience community with no shame, because they all come equal, and we can lay down the shame, being fully included in the community of Christ, without hindrance, without being an outcast, and set aside as someone who is not worthy, but have freedom that is refreshing. All right, and to continue with the reflection today, here's the third thing. I do say these things because there's a lot of different things that a lot of different people have, and maybe one of these things will help today. But thinking this through the story, here's this last question. What would it look like to recognize that Jesus cares for us? What would it look like to recognize that Jesus cares for us, that Jesus cares for you? Maybe you've never thought of that before. Maybe you come and you think, well, Jesus cares for people, sure. But Jesus cares for you. Whether you know Jesus, whether you would say you have a relationship with him, which is very important. And I hope that everyone takes the opportunity, and some of us here maybe have never done that, to receive Jesus and say, he cares for me, and now I know him personally, that there's a relationship that has started. And maybe that's you today. And maybe like the daughter of Jairus, simply to open up your arms up to him, to open up your arms and receive his comfort because it's there, to open up your arms and receive life from Jesus, to open up your arms, our arms, and receive the care of Jesus, to allow his love to be real for us, to allow him to love us right here and now. There's no need to say to Jesus the reasons why you feel you can't be loved. I'm telling you as a friend and pastor. There's no need to say to Jesus the reasons why you may feel he can't love you, because he loves you so much that he knew what it took to allow us to be united with him, to be healed of our sin, to be healed of our brokenness, to be healed of our feeling of loneliness, to allow the death and resurrection of himself to be seen as care for us. He went to the cross for all of us. It's true. The whole world is true. For you specifically, it's true. For me, put myself in there. For me, I knew Jesus. I couldn't save myself. He loves us, and nothing can separate us from his love. Always remember that. So let's bow in corporate prayer. And all together as Christ's church, let's pray. Please join me in a word of prayer. Jesus, we know that we need you. We've heard that today. We respond in faith and trust. We are thankful that you are our Savior. There is nothing greater than your love for us. We receive that love and ask that you would show us what it looks like to follow you today in what we are facing. You know our biggest burdens and cares. We hand them to you, and in return, we receive your grace, your mercy, your love, your patience, We open up our fist. We allow you to massage our white knuckles and allow us to let go of control and let you reign. Maybe some of us have even put things in a box from a couple of weeks ago, and we've already started that process. We know it's in your care, and we trust you with that. You've taken it away. We know that you are slow to anger and are abounding in love. Thank you for all that you've done for us in the past. Thank you for all that you have done for us in the present today. And thank you for all that you're continually doing in and through us. We trust you. We're thankful. We choose you again today as our God. It's in the name of Jesus in whom we pray. Amen.